Welcome to the Sales Enablement Innovation Podcast, brought to you by the Sales Enablement Collective. Each episode, we sit down with sales enablement and revenue leaders from around the world and invite them to share their expertise and experience with the community.
Hey, Annabelle, welcome to the podcast. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Hey, Daniel. Thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Thanks for coming on again. It's great to have you. So before diving in, can you introduce yourself to the listeners, give some background on your career journey, what you're about, what's going on in your enablement career?
Sure, of course. So my name is Annabelle Hosking. I'm a global sales enablement manager currently working at LexisNexis Risk Data Services, so a group of data companies predominantly. And we're part of the wider RELX group. So all things software, technology and data has really been our bread and butter. My career journey into enablement has been one mixed with a lot of curves, I will say. It was sort of something I stumbled into about 5 years ago, just before the pandemic, and then sort of fell in love with from working at my desk in, you know, I think for all of us working from home and then getting back into the office and meeting people. So my background was really around content management and creating content. And since last year, I've moved into a new role, which is supporting more brands being able to bring enablement to a wider audience. So that's really what I love to do every day, is just talk all things content, all things technology, and really just talk to people most of the time, which is great.
I love that. And enablement is such a people-focused role. It's a great way to be able to do that. So today we're centering the topic of conversation around internal champions of enablement. To sort of lay the groundwork for the conversation, could you, I guess, explain what a champion is in this context that we're going to be talking about in an enablement context, I suppose?
Yeah, of course. For me, a champion in enablement is really somebody within your organization who is not only doing the right thing, so doing the behaviors that you want to see and, you know, really being a showcase to the rest of their colleagues, but is also somebody who's really enthusiastic. So someone who's really curious, is asking a lot of questions, is the first person that you go to when you need to test a concept or you want to buy a new platform and you want to ask their opinion of. So it's really the person that you look up to who becomes your partner on the ground. And it doesn't have to just be one singular person. You can have ideally a group of champions and, you know, a group of diverse voices there, but it's somebody who is really excited by what's coming next and wants to be actively involved in the first instance.
I love that. And I guess the natural follow-up to that is, how has having sort of these champions helped you in your role? How have you, I guess, made the most out of it and really, I guess, enhanced your sort of enablement efforts through sort of seeking out these champions?
Yes, wow. So I mean, as I mentioned, so I stumbled into enablement 5 years ago. I don't even think I knew I was in enablement until sort of 2 years into that journey. And then I remember speaking to a vendor and they gave it a name. And I was like, oh, that's what I do. And being able to then have people who have been really instrumental to understanding what not only I'm trying to achieve, but what my whole team were trying to achieve, has just meant that whenever you've needed a sounding board or you've needed someone to tell you, is this the right idea? Am I going down the right path? They've almost been that voice of reason as well. So it's really become where these people are partners, but they're also trusted advisors to the enablement team, which has been really great because they feel like they're involved. I feel like I'm going in the right direction and I'm actually, you know, doing what the salespeople want and, you know, the sales managers want, the leadership want, because I've got somebody on the ground who's saying, oh, this is the feeling in the team. This is the feeling in our region. This is where we're noticing a gap. And it's just really making sure that conversation consistently stays a two-way conversation. And there's that constant feedback loop, which I think is really important. And it's also where I have been able to develop and grow as an individual and also in my career, is knowing how to navigate that as well and knowing not to overwhelm people. And, you know, I might have 100 different ideas, but to understand of what their priorities are. So we've really come to where I don't think I would be able to do my day to day without my champions and without the people who I go to also just to sometimes when you're having those days where you might be feeling a bit flat and wondering whether you're on the right path, they're the people to pick you up and to add your energy. And I think that's really where they're powerful, is adding the energy to the everyday.
I love that. And that's really powerful, like you said, especially even just for lifting the energy. I guess for someone listening, what can sort of enablers do to find these champions and trusted advisors in their organizations? And then sort of once you've found them, how do you actually maintain and sort of grow that relationship so that it is a fruitful one?
Oh, this is a tricky one, because sometimes they are like finding a needle in the haystack. But then once you find them, it's really worth it. So I would say that there's sort of, you know, two approaches whenever you're launching something in enablement or you're talking about a new incentive, is you have the people who are really, really enthusiastic off the bat. And that's great that you know that they're the people that are going to get on board straight away. But then you have the people who are really curious and they're asking you a lot of questions and they're sort of pushing you a bit more and challenging you. And they're the ones that are your champions. And the reason I say, you know, those versus the people that are directly on board, is because having a champion is not just there to be an echo chamber. They're there to challenge as well. So I would say for people who are listening, who are trying to find those people in their organization, is look around when you're perhaps speaking to a team or presenting, and really start to identify who are those people who are asking you questions, who are being really curious, who are actually engaging with what you're saying as well. Because the likelihood is that they're the people who have bought in, or they're buying in, they see the benefit, and they're the ones where you know you're constantly going to be able to go to them to get that buy-in, that promotion, but also the people who are going to be really making sure that it becomes better than it can be, the enablement. And in terms of really then building those relationships, it's making sure it's a two-way relationship, right? So it can be very easy in any job, no matter what you're doing, whether you're enablement or not, to become very focused on what your priorities are, what your projects are, and to forget that ultimately, you know, within enablement, our salespeople, our leadership, they're our customers. So we have to nurture those relationships, and we have to make sure that they are seeing the benefits as well. And if they're not seeing those benefits, or they're not understanding how it's actually helping them in the day-to-day, is coming back and going, okay, how can we start to pivot to make sure that you are? And so it's really making sure that relationship becomes a two-way stream, and it doesn't just become a sort of sounding board for every idea that, you know, I ever have, which I think would drive anyone maybe away, but really making sure that they're also seeing how they're benefiting in their day-to-day as well.
Absolutely. And I think enablement, in enablement, we talk about so much about cross-functional collaboration and working with our teams, but maybe sometimes the relationship with sales or the actual audience becomes maybe a little bit talking to rather than talking with. So that's a great way of sort of reframing that. I guess, have you noticed, is there any sort of traits that that champions tend to share in terms of, like, do they tend to be more experienced reps, or do you sort of in certain roles, have you sort of, or do you sort of cast a wide net and sort of seem to find them a bit everywhere? I guess, have you sort of noticed any patterns in sort of where you find them?
I would say there's not really one particular role in terms of sales. They can be any kind of seniority or any kind of expertise. I will say the one trait they all share, as I've mentioned, is they are all curious. And they do tend to be people who will ask a question that makes you sort of sit back and go, ah, I did not think of having an answer to that question just yet. But I think that's great, because it then challenges us to think differently and to think, actually, maybe we're not appealing, or maybe we need to go into a slightly different direction or enhance something. So I would say definitely the one trait they all share is they're all curious. For the most part, and maybe this is my experience, they all also tend to be coming at it with a very positive attitude. So that's a real cornerstone of the champions, is although I've mentioned that they're asking you questions and making it, you know, a two-way conversation, is they do it with a positive edge. It's there because they want it to be better. They want to succeed. They want the business to succeed. And so they do have this positivity of, how can we work together to actually make this even better? So I would say they tend to be curious, they tend to be positive, and they do tend to be people who know how they like to work. So this doesn't necessarily have to do with experience, but of course, the people who really know their way of working, but they also know how that way of working can be improved. And so those are the people where, if you're looking for your champions, is having a conversation with those people who are perhaps, you know, slightly more experienced, but then making sure you don't forget those who are less experienced, but really those who have a really clear work frame and know where the gaps are and where the points that they can become more productive are.
That makes a lot of sense. And I guess, again, from like sort of the listener's perspective, have you ever sort of experienced, I guess, sort of challenges with finding sort of willing, curious people to be champions? What's your sort of, I guess, approach with sort of to seek them out, so that our listeners can sort of anticipate those challenges maybe and get ahead of them if they're trying to replicate this in their organization?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's funny. Everyone sees, or at least in our organization, sometimes they see enablement as like the voice of the leadership, right? Where it's like, you know, we're listening to the leaders, and when we're just directly saying, we must do this, we have to do this, and we're forgetting about, you know, our end users. And then anything they tell us, we're sort of a funnel that will go directly back to the leaders. So, of course, there is this innate suspicion, I think, that always comes whenever you go up to someone and you go, so what do you really think about this? You know, how can it really be better? Especially if perhaps they're not the first on board, right? So I do think that the biggest challenge has been the trust. And it's building that trust with those people and building your own credibility as well to say that what you're telling me is in a safe environment. It's not going back to anybody with a negative spin. And so it's really creating the area, creating the environment for them to feel comfortable to do that for you. So, you know, don't make it so official, right? So for me, one of the things that I found really helpful was when you're in the office, just go and plonk yourself next to them at the desk. And literally when they're off the phone, have a chat. Don't make it this big, oh, can I grab you for half an hour? I'm going to put in a meeting. We're going to catch up. Because instantly that puts a different aura over what you're trying to achieve. And the biggest challenge is building that initial trust. And so I would say for enablers, you know, sit with your salespeople, sit with your leadership, don't sit removed from them, because they need to see that actually what you're doing and what you're working on, of course, is to their benefit. It's not to be the person that's, you know, fielding back what they're hearing on the ground, but actually, how can I really work with you? But of course, that takes time, and that will always be a challenge, is getting that trust and making sure that you then maintain that trust.
100%. And I guess looping back to something you mentioned about sort of enablement being the voice of the leadership, how do you sort of balance the sort of top down feedback about enablement that comes from the leadership team with the sort of bottom up feedback from the team? You know, I imagine sometimes they're conflicting, they're telling you to say slightly different things. How do you sort of strike that balance with you and your team to sort of say, okay, we're listening to what the sort of leadership is saying, but we're also sort of hearing out the reps and creating that trust, as you said?
I think in one sentence is with difficulty. it is difficult. But so it's interesting, actually, because I think it depends wholly on your leadership, right? So I'm very fortunate in that, you know, some of our leaders are really, really enthusiastic about the idea of enablement, the idea of technology. And so it's also managing them a little bit, because they can get really excited. And that's fantastic, because you want someone that's excited rather than someone skeptical. They're a lot easier to manage. But it's for me, it's really been about, sometimes when the feedback is conflicting, is, well, what is the actual problem we're trying to solve here? Because we all do it, you know, we'll be talking in a meeting and we'll throw out a phrase and it will be, you know, slightly hyperbole and it's too grand. And you've just thrown out that phrase and then you sort of stick to it and you go, oh, well, is that what we're trying to achieve? Or is there a more of a problem that actually that's what the root cause is? So it's understanding from your leadership, you know, what are their actual pains? And then from your salespeople, what are their pains? And that's really the only way that I've been able to ever balance the sometimes conflicting feedback, has been going, okay, well, they're both trying to solve slightly different pains, because obviously they're at completely different points within the organization. How can I do something that will mitigate both of those pains? And this isn't easy, by the way. And I will say that 9 times out of 10, you have to obviously level off with, to some extent, you're going to probably follow what your leader is saying, because they're the leadership. But it's really important to not lose sight of ensuring that the user experience and the internal customers are still seeing the benefit of it. And that's why it comes back to being on the ground with them, sitting with them, listening to them, because they are a constant feedback loop, whereas your leadership might be a once a quarter feedback loop. So it becomes a lot easier to digest that because it's not perhaps coming at you so intently, but it really is identifying how can we get to a mutual problem that we both want to solve. And then maybe that's the route we start to steer down, but it will always be a challenge with balancing both, because I sometimes find, you know, it's a difference between a short and a long-term solution for either group.
That makes a lot of sense. It's a really interesting sort of perspective as well. Bringing it back down to the trust sort of that we mentioned, something we spoke about before recording was that sometimes reps don't want to go to the enablement person and prefer leaning on peers. How do you, I guess, facilitate that as a team? Do you, I guess, does that make it more difficult for you to sort of find these champions and actually have people lean on you as an enablement person?
It does a bit, yes, because it's, so if I may answer this in sort of a double prong, if you will. So the first bit being that you want to ensure the information the reps are getting is the information that is correct. So when it comes to things like best practice or best or good behaviors, or, you know, how to approach a system or a process in the correct way, of course, it is that feeling of please just come to the enablement, because you don't want them to have to do things twice, right? So for things like onboarding or processing, I would always prefer that they would just come to myself. However, the second prong to this is when it comes to actually you wanting to then embed behaviors or embed best practice, the best way to do that is to get people talking with each other and for them to see, oh, well, my colleague's seeing the benefit and they're really productive, so why don't I try this? And, oh, they had a really good response from a customer, I should do that as well. So for us, as you know, for my role, it's really how do I create that space where they can do that? So is it that they want to do a lunch and learn and listen to each other? Is it that they want to do a workshop and hear from one another? So, you know, an example of this was at our recent kickoffs that we had in at the beginning of the year. I was speaking a lot about technology and, you know, about how there's a rise of AI and how we need to continue with innovation. But a large portion was actually everyone in the room talking to one another, understanding how they use a multi-channel approach to reach their customers and then presenting back to one another. So that's really an example of where you can create the space for them and create the opportunity for them. But ultimately, they want to hear from each other. They want to hear from each other's ideas. They want to work together. So make sure you're creating those environments where they feel that, A, they're comfortable to do that, and B, there's the opportunity to do that as well. There is a lot going on day to day. We're all really busy most of the time. And sometimes, you know, they won't always think, oh, I should go and, you know, create a workshop, or I should get people together to have a conversation. So as enablement, we should enable that and, you know, create those workshops or create those, as I say, group get togethers or run a gamify it in some way, but give them the environment to do it. You know, you could obviously put parameters if you want a particular topic spoken about or particular behavior, but really it's making sure that you're there just to help them facilitate that conversation and ensure they get something out of it.
I really like that. It's a nice sort of fine balance between the enablement and then the sort of peer-to-peer part, which is really nice. If someone is listening to this and has like sort of nothing like this in their organization, they're kind of just working a silo, maybe a big question, but where do they start? What advice would you give someone who's like, hey, this, I'd love to sort of be in tune with sort of my team like this, but I don't know where to start. What sort of pointers would you give someone who's like, yes, looking to get started on the path?
I think start small. You know, I think when enablement come into any organization, they're there to solve 100 different problems, and they've been brought in because the organization wants to go through a transformation or they want to get a new technology, and it can be really overwhelming. So I would say anyone who's listening who's the very beginning of this journey or the beginning of their career or beginning of enablement career is start small. Identify a very quick fix problem, and sometimes this is something like a process, right? If there's one thing salespeople find irritating, it's bad process. And you'll always hear that. It'd be like the one thing that just derails conversations. It's suddenly you're talking about a process that's got nothing to do with enablement. So, you know, identify what is that one irritant that all the salespeople are feeling and try to make it better. You don't have to solve it, but try to do something to make it better. And then talk to people. Honestly, literally, I think I spent the first 2-3 months when I was first starting just talking to different people. And even in my new role now, I literally spent 2 months speaking to every single leader and every single manager within our brand. So it can get exhausting, especially if you're not an overly social person, but it is the best way to just start to build those foundational relationships of this is who I am, this is what I'm here to do, what is something I can help you with? Because then you'll start to identify what the common themes are and what the common problems are that they're feeling. And that really then helps you build the basis of, okay, well, what am I actually going to do within my enablement team or within my journey itself? So it's such a people-focused role. So you have to be able to be comfortable speaking to people and having conversations where you're not only getting something out of them, but also you're ensuring that they feel like they're going to get something from you as well. And that's really how that begins. And give it time as well. Don't try and solve every single problem on day one or even week one. You know, give yourself time to settle in. And from those conversations, from that time spent, you'll start to see, as I say, the champions popping up, and you'll start to remember the people that were really welcoming, asking a lot of questions, really enthusiastic. And then that's how you'll start to know who you can always go back to and speak to more.
I really like that. And yeah, just being people focused, it's really is the key in enablement. I guess, but before we wrap up, in terms of like the actual feedback from the champions, like you obviously mentioned sometimes it's quite informal, just like chats. How do you sort of store it or keep track of it? Do you sort of have like a sort of formal document that you sort of keep everything, or is it a little bit more sort of just the vibe that you're picking up from the team? I guess, how do you make sure that you're actually taking in all that feedback and storing it somewhere that doesn't get sort of forgotten or misplaced in some way?
Yeah, of course. So, you know, it really does depend on the instance. I mean, if it's a really formal training or if there has been a specific initiative, then it's a lot more formal, of course. Like people will get, you know, for example, even after our kickoff, people get feedback forms, and then you receive that feedback and, you know, you have a look at it and start to then pivot. If it's, you know, looking purely at, well, how are our systems behaving? How are they going? It's looking at, actually look at your data as well. Your data is going to tell you a lot, right? So they're going to, it's going to show you, are people consuming the content, spending time on the platforms? Who are the people who are spending the most time? And then, you know, go and talk to them and ask, you know, why do they like something? So for me, I really like to work on more of an informal feedback loop where I get it directly from people and I get it verbatim, and I'll actively go and seek that out. That's purely, you know, for my own benefit, because I find it a much easier way to take on the feedback and to understand, okay, this has worked, this hasn't worked as well, this is what we can do better next time. And it also helps me, as I say, to build those relationships as well, because people feel like they're being heard. So that's how I like to do it. But I will say there is also a benefit in the more formal approach where people have to actively fill out feedback forms. A word of caution is I don't think any salesperson particularly enjoys filling out anything administrative. So, you know, I will say few and far between where you can make them and maybe group several things together. But it is really useful to also have the written feedback. I think you have to be careful that you don't focus just on that, because sometimes people would rather just speak face to face. So it's really making sure you get both views there.
That makes a lot of sense. And before we sort of wrap it up, do you have any sort of final thoughts or like what's your sort of takeaway that the listeners should sort of bring away from this episode and sort of bring back to their own organization?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's something that I found throughout my enablement career and speaking to other enablers is it can feel like a very lonely world sometimes. You know, we can sometimes think of ourselves as a solo sport. And it's funny, then when we find each other, it's like this sort of like, oh my gosh, wow, okay, let's have this conversation. This is great. But it's remembering that it's not a solo sport. There are people who want you to succeed, and there are also people who want enablement to succeed as well. And I would say, you know, if there's one thing to wrap it up is find the people who want what you're trying to do to be successful. And once you've found them, nurture those relationships and don't feel like you're on your own in the wilderness of the business world.
I love that. Thank you so much, Annabelle, for coming onto the show and sharing. And I really enjoyed the conversation. I'm 100% sure our listeners will have as well. So just thank you for taking the time this morning to jump on.
Thank you so much. And thank you for having me, Daniel. I love this.
Thanks for tuning in to the Sales Enablement Innovation Podcast. Be sure to follow us on your podcast platform of choice so you don't miss a thing. And if you're hungry for more sales enablement content, visit our website, salesenablementcollective.com, for articles, events, and an easy way to join our Slack community, home to thousands of your sales enablement peers.